Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in church tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. What a privilege it is once again to enter into the courts, the sanctuary of the Lord, the courts of the Lord. We've come to praise Him. We've come to have church tonight. How many of you just rather be here than anywhere else you can think about being? What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Before we go any further, why don't you turn around? You may have to walk around a little bit tonight. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. Sing a verse for me, if you will. Praise the Lord.
Nothing in my hand I breathe. Simply to Thy cross I cling, naked come to Thee for dress, helpless look.
Hallelujah.
To Thee for grace.
Hallelujah.
The double cure.
Hallelujah. Rock of ages. Clap for me. Well, I'll tell you what we need. We certainly need that Rock of Ages right now, don't we? What a time we're living in. But I am so glad that the Lord has put a way out, a way of escape out of what we're in right now. This is not a good place to be in right now. And God's people are looking forward to getting out of here, aren't you? I'm not content in the situation we're in, are you? I want to get out of this place. And I believe God has provided that for us, Brother Terry, don't you? Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you'll stand with me just for a few minutes. I want to pray for Sister Lillian Vega, home with a bad cold. Let's pray for her tonight. If you continue to remember Glenda in prayer, she's sick. Just needs a touch from the Lord. She is doing some better, but she still needs a touch from the Lord. Sister Sherry Wiggins says, please remember me in prayer. I will be taking a very difficult and very important exam this coming Friday. I really need the Lord to help me in this. Thank you for your prayer. So we just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Gary Harris sends this in to please pray for Brother Gary Ayers' brother. His name is Gene, Brother Gene Ayers. He suffered a stroke, and there's a lot of complications that he's suffering right now because of that stroke. And they're asking that we would just remember him as we pray tonight. I want to pray for Sister Susan Olive. She is having a lot of sickness, a lot of battles in her life with sickness. And we want to remember her tonight. I want to pray for Brother and Sister King. They are both not feeling well tonight, unable to be in the service. So let's pray for Brother and Sister King tonight. I want to pray for Brother Mike Pierce. He has also an unspoken prayer request. He's still in the medical center, room 3320. So remember him in prayer tonight. Here's an unspoken prayer request. I would like for all of you to remember me in prayer. I have a very urgent unspoken prayer request. So we'll commit that unto the Lord. Brother Kirk Sacker sends this in, says, thank you for your prayers. I had surgery on my knee yesterday. Also pray for a speedy recovery and that I can lose weight. I have confidence in your prayers. May God bless you. So let's commit that unto the Lord tonight. Sister Connie Cook says to please pray for Sherry Frame from Pennsylvania, who needs healing. She is having severe pain throughout her body with no known cause. So we want to remember that need tonight. Brother Charlie says to please continue to pray for their son, Brother Danny. He's still affected with an infection in his body and not doing well. So we want to remember Brother Danny tonight as we pray. Brother Al Stevens sends this in from New York. Says, thank you for your prayers Wednesday for my wife, Dawn. Her surgery went well, and she came home last night and slept pretty well. And thank God for guiding the surgeon's hand. So he offers that testimony tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something tonight you'd like for this group to pray about, we just want to commit these things unto the Lord. We know He's more than able to meet all of these needs tonight. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give the Lord a real good hand clap of praise tonight. Brother Amos, come and pray tonight. Let's pray over these requests and invite the presence of the Lord into the service tonight.
Our precious Lord Jesus, tonight we are so thankful to be here, Father God. Most of all, we're thankful that we've come your provided way. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us that provided way. And Lord God, tonight we want to give you praise and thanks, Lord, because you certainly are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the final say. You're the absolute. Dear God, you've got the last word on every situation. And Lord God, we know tonight, Lord, and within my hand, and as already we've heard with our ears, these many requests, I think, Lord, it may have already been mentioned, Sister Linda, Lord Jesus, over there in the hospital. Dear God, another Brother Pierce, Lord God, over there in the hospital as well. Lord, many others, Brother Danny, that's sick in body. Dear Lord, you're the one that's got the last say. We can tell the devil tonight, Satan, you're a liar. We refuse to accept your lie. We only accept the word. Lord, you've given us your word. You've given us your say, and it's your word. We're thankful we can take that word. We can tell the devil he's nothing but a bluff. We rebuke the powers of darkness tonight that would hinder, that would try to drag down each believer, dear God, those that are attacked in their body, those that are attacked in their mind, I pray for deliverance in Jesus Christ's name. We ask your blessing upon Brother Matthew tonight, Lord, as he brings the word to us, Lord. May we have receptive hearts and ears, Lord. May every spirit of unbelief, may we rebuke that away from us tonight, Lord. Whatever it would be that would hinder us from making progress into the word tonight, we pray that those powers would be defeated, and we know they will for the real believer tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Amos. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless all those folks as well. Our brothers and sisters from around the world that are streaming these services. And we know they're a blessing to them, and we pray that they'll continue to be so. Let me make this announcement. Do not forget to set your clocks back 1 hour tonight. Remember that. Set them back, not ahead, but set them back 1 hour before you go to bed tonight. I think we had a problem here sometime back. Somebody misunderstood what I said and was an hour early for church. But remember to set them back. If you're going to bed at 11, set your clock to 10. So remember that. Set them back 1 hour. Are you glad to be a Christian tonight? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Are you glad God's on your side? Are you glad you're on His side? That's the point. That's the point of it all, to be on His side. Let's sing a song tonight. Somebody requested that we sing this. We'll do it, and you help us tonight. He came looking for me. Aren't you glad that He found you? Somebody say praise the Lord. He came looking for me. Has He found you yet?
Yeah, they found me.
I know.
One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the darkness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My spirit rang out with pride. All I could see was no hope inside. Beneath all the gone, I met the one who came looking for me.
Oh, let's sing about it now.
He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear and save from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me. Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. Now save no harm, cause He walked through the storm. He came looking for me.
Well, He came looking for me.
He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way. To rescue my soul and calm all my fear.
Now free from all harm.
Since I met the one who came looking for me.
Sing that second verse.
Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan to move forward to put me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Was a matter of time, but Jesus rescue my soul and calm all my fears.
Now we're sing from all heart.
Since I met the one who came looking for me.
Mountain. Let's sing that one tonight. Let's sing that one, buddy. Sing a little bit of it. Oh, praise the Lord. You're singing good tonight, church.
I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, and I heard my Savior speak to me. He said, come to me, relenting of all your sins, repenting, child, I will lead you out where you can see.
Singing so good tonight. God bless you. Appreciate your participation. You can be seated tonight. Brother Matthew Watkins is here tonight. Going to be speaking for us tonight and in the morning. I know you're looking forward to that. Before he does that, we're going to have a special tonight. Brother Harry's going to give us a song before we go on into the service. So you enjoy him as he sings another special for you tonight. How many of you appreciate Brother Harry? God bless him. We certainly appreciate all of our brothers and sisters that take part in this service. God bless him tonight as he sings for us.
Well, I thought I already did a special. Well, bless y'all for your patience and mercy with me and Brother Louie.
I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Help me sing it. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, this mountain's too high and these valleys are too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all. As someone who can, but I found out I can't even walk. Lord, if you're not holding my hand, oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh, valleys too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Make Jesus my one and all from now on. When I'm in trouble, it's on His name I'm gonna call. If I can't trust in Him, I'll be listening. 'Cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh, the mountains too high, this valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I've learned to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my
Amen. Isn't that true tonight? Amen. Can't even walk without Him holding our hand every step of the way. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bible, we'll go straight to the Word We appreciate all that good singing. Appreciate that special from Brother Harry. Certainly good to be here in the house of God, isn't it?
Amen.
Did you come ready?
Amen.
Amen. You better be ready. Because the devil's fighting, but God's fighting. Amen. And he's on our side. Amen. It's good. Amen. We've already won. We got the victory. That's right. Amen. It's certainly good to be here back with you again. It's been a little while since we've been here, but it's good to be here with you. Greet everyone. Bring greetings back from my dad at home, Pastor, and everybody's doing well. So I know that you're doing good because you serve a good God.
Amen.
And you ain't always good. Amen. But he is. He's always good.
Amen.
We're going to turn in your Bible, if you have it there, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll just begin reading the first verse. I'd like to speak to you tonight on perilous times. The Bible says in verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, don't have anything to do with." That's what the word means. From such, turn away. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." So we know this was a prophecy that was referring to a specific time. It was referring to a specific day and age, and it was referring to the day and age that you and I live in. And we know that this is an age, the Bible says, that they would have a form of godliness, but they would deny the power. They would love God. They would love God. The Bible says they love pleasure more than God. And we know that it says in verse 7 here, "ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we count on the privilege, Lord, to speak to your people tonight, Father. Lord, to be accounted a Christian tonight, Lord. We give you thanks, Father. We thank you for your mercy upon our lives, Lord. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you, God, that we serve a living God, one who's able to do much more than we could ever hope or think or ask. Lord, and we believe, God, that there was a divine appointment and a divine purpose to this service here tonight, God. Knowing, Lord God, that this is the house of judgment. Lord, and to some, Father, the words that I speak tonight, Lord, to some it will be judgment, to others it'll be grace. We pray, God, that the word would find its place in every individual's life, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bless every person, Father, every teenager, young, old, Lord, alike. May you just move me out of the way totally and completely, Lord Jesus. Speak through this vessel, we ask. We've learned to trust you, Father. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to know, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee, how I've proven thee time and time again. I pray, God, you just be with us, Lord, in the words that we speak. May you bless this service in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Prophet of God says this out of the testimony of a true witness. And I won't hold you long tonight, knowing we have service in the morning. He says, "His word testifies in the last days that there will come a falling away. And there would come up a cold, formal, and powerless church age." That's what we're living in. A church that had no power, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. "From such turn away." He gave the sign that there'd be times when a man would sit in the temple of God, showing himself he was God. He'd come ruling the nations. How perfectly all these things, how God's word has been perfect. And so the prophet here relates the scripture that we just read here in 2 Thessalonians, how that there would come a great powerless church age. There would come a falling away and a church would rise up, one being cold and formal and powerless. And he said that they would have no power. They would have a form of godliness, but they would deny the power thereof. I'd like just to say a few things about this tonight as we begin our thought here to establish just a few things. I would like to say this first. The Word of God is timeless. Amen. The Word of God is ageless. It always has relevance. It's always relevant. It always has a specific application. Everything that's written in that Bible, every word, every sentence, every chapter, every verse, God in His great mind had a specific motive. He had a specific intention. He had a specific thing that was going to take place, and therefore He'd write something in the Word about it. There's many things in this Bible that have absolutely no direct relevance to you today. Meaning that there's things that the Word speaks about that are in the past. We know the Word has compound meaning and it can mean many different things, but there are certain things in the Bible that God has declared that were relevant for the days of Adam. There were certain things that He wrote that were specific to the days of Moses and of Joshua. There were things that were specific to Jesus Christ. And I believe there's things that are very specific to you and me. Listen, God hasn't fallen asleep. He hasn't forgot. Satan hasn't slipped one under Him. But in every age, there's been a word that's provided that the prophet said would meet the challenge of the hour. The Word has always met the challenge of every hour. In the days of Paul, there was word that was there that would meet the challenge that the enemy brought forth. And I believe that the Word always has a relevance. It always has a certain specificity to where someone lives. Now you take here and we look in our Bible and we look even things in Jeremiah. It speaks about Jacob's trouble. We know that's referring, God is referring to a specific thing. He's speaking of the tribulation period, the day, the great and terrible day of the Lord. And we know God was referring in His mind when He penned certain things and He would take a man and anoint him as a prophet, and that prophet would begin to write certain things in the Bible, and it would be recorded in the Word of God. And there were certain things, I want you to catch this, in God's mind, it wasn't just generally speaking. In God's mind, it wasn't just generally saying something, but God had a specific point. God had a specific motive. He had a specific intention behind saying what He said. We know in the Bible in Isaiah 7, it says, "The Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And you shall call His name Emmanuel." We know that Isaiah would say something like this. Now listen, this was something that God anointed one of His servants with, and God had a specific thing in His mind. Listen, it wasn't just generally speaking as some day and God think, well, maybe this will be a good day for me to, you know, it seems like the time is right and I'm going to send my son. I'm going to come down and be embodied in human flesh. No, but God in His thinking had a specific time. He had a specific hour. He had a specific thought in His mind, and He would take a man hundreds of years before it would happen. Hundreds of years before there'd be any sign. And people would look at that. Prophet of God said Isaiah had no clue. He scratched his head and thought, why did I just say that? Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And no doubt when Isaiah said this, if you were a believer of Isaiah's ministry, if you believed him to be a prophet, you would begin the very next day to look for a virgin to conceive. And you would follow for years this man. He said, I believe he's anointed. I believe God's inspired him. I believe he's God's prophet. And he made a prophecy, a virgin shall conceive. And people would begin to build their lives around these words. They would raise children, a virgin shall conceive. Something that seemed totally impossible. I would have loved to seen if Google was around when Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive.
I would love to know how many things they would say and how many scientists and opinions would have all the negative things to say about Isaiah, and he's a heretic, he's a false prophet. Are you here tonight? I would love to know what the religious world of that day would say. I would love to know what the evangelical church and the denominational system would say to a man who made such a, to the human mind, ludicrous statement. But there were believers. And there were people who believed God's word through a mouthpiece of a man. There were people who believed there was truth to this. Now listen, for hundreds of years people would believe this. And people would go down in history. They would bury moms, they would bury dads, they would bury children, all hoping and all believing a virgin shall conceive. Isaiah says, unto us a child, listen, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Zechariah says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. Listen, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Yes. Now you notice this. When Isaiah says this and when Zechariah speaks it, if you were to look in that day, you'd think, what does this mean? How does this have any relevance? How does it have any significance? But listen, there was a generation of people who were not just going to preach it. They were not just going to tell it, but they were actually going to live in the days of the fulfillment of this prophecy. For hundreds of years, people believed this. A virgin shall conceive. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. But there was a coming a time when time would intersect with prophecy. Though people said, it's, you know, that's a bunch of nonsense and that'll never be true. And you people are holding on to nothing. And that's just stories. And that was just a man's opinion. Oh, but there was coming a generation of young people. There is coming a generation of people, though they kept telling, and though they kept repeating, though they kept telling the prophecy, little did they know they were living in the days when the Son of God would step of his foot on the earth. They were living in a day when this prophecy, listen, that had laid on paper and scroll for years and years and years and years and years. But in God's mind, God had a specific season. And listen, politics, you think the word of God. Let me tell you something. This word controls everything. This word controls sickness. This word controls the world. It controls disease. It controls who's president. Your vote doesn't. You think God's up there? Oh no, Obama and Romney. You know, the polls are showing this, and what am I going to do? Let me tell you something. The word controls everything. It controls your life. It controls your finance. It controls your home. You can depend upon it. Hallelujah. The word of God controlled that. And there was coming a day when words would not just be words. They would not just be prophecy in that day. But there was coming an exact fulfillment when the Son of God would come upon the earth. And now time has met prophecy. When David said in Psalm 16, for thou shalt will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. You think when David penned this, he had any clue? He was literally penning the prophecy that would bring Jesus Christ out of the ground. And most people looked at that. You think theologians, look, oh, you're making too much out of that. David was just speaking. You're taking that out of context. David had no clue what he said. But there was coming a day God would anoint David. And David would pin something. And God in his mind was seeing his son in the lower parts of earth and hell. And David had no clue that the very words he was pinning that would be prophecy was going to have a fulfillment. Because on a dark day, the Son of God descended to the lower parts of the earth. And David's very words
were prophetic of bringing Christ out of the ground. You see, these words, God has a reason. God has a purpose. He doesn't just write stuff for no reason. And nothing takes Him off hand. Nothing takes Him off guard. If we believe that, then we have to believe there were specific things that were written for your day. Notice this in 2 Thessalonians 2:1-4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So there was a false teaching saying that the Lord had already came. And Paul comes to clear it up and says, verse 3, listen, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day, Paul? That day, notice specific, not that time, but that day, the day of Christ, the day of the return of the Lord, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So out of necessity, something has to take place. Paul says, that day shall not come until first there comes a falling away. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Amen. So Paul makes it very clear, first things first. Before the Lord comes, before the rapture, before the coming of the Lord, before that day, first there must come a falling away. Paul had no clue that what he was speaking of would be so specific to the day and age that you live in. Yet this was so prophetic of where we live today. The Bible says this here, notice 2 Timothy 3, we're going to read just a few of these scriptures. This is 2 Peter 3:3-4. Knowing this, notice, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So notice all these scriptures are pointing to one thing. There first must come a falling away before anything happens. You know, this is so different. When the Bible writes this in 2 Thessalonians, and it says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Amen. How much money would you pay for that to say awesome times? Supernatural times. This know also in the last days, everybody's going to be shouting, singing, dancing. There shall be joy unspeakable. Everybody will be coming to the truth of the message. We'll be building new churches in the last days. Surely, Brother Matt, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be so great to live in the last days and so awesome to live in the last times. I got news for you. You better wake up because there's a war taking place. There's a battle taking place. Harder than ever, the devil is fighting the mind of people. Harder than ever, he's bringing confusion and question. Because the Bible says, in the last days, know this first, there shall come perilous times. Don't you wish that wasn't there? Notice this. He says, knowing this first in 2 Peter 3:3-4, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, you know, how long really are you guys going to believe this end time message stuff? How long are y'all going to keep holding on to hope? This man's been dead for so many years and oh my goodness, all, you know, everything remains the same. And you know, it's just a bunch of opinions and stories. And how long are y'all really going to believe this? I don't know. I know this though. I want to be ready when he comes. I know this. The Bible says there was a man named Enoch and he walked with God and he was not. He was translated. I believe there's a people, hallelujah, who will be the anti-type of that prophecy.
They will be the anti-type of that man, and they'll take a rapture. In the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of the falling away, there's going to be a rapture. An ascending up to glory. Hallelujah. Take heed to yourselves. Luke 21. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Now be careful, is what he says. He says, and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So he says, be careful that you don't get so caught up. You know what the problem is? It never says, take heed to yourselves from drugs and alcohol and all these other kind of lascivious things. But it says, in the last days, people will be so bogged down with life. So spun up in the world wide web. So caught up and entangled with life and all the things that are happening and all the pressures of life and all the politics and all, my, what's going to happen? It so surprises me that people are so shocked at the day, at the world that we live in. You know, God bless Chick-fil-A for the thing they did, taking a stand for marriage. But really? Are we really surprised? Everybody in the whole Christian world's, you know, so outraged by homosexuality, same-sex marriage. I want to ask them, have you read the Bible? Have you read the Bible? Don't you know it's inevitable? You think I like it? Absolutely not. I hate it. But it's the day and age you live in. It's perilous times. It's awful times to live in. Notice this, take heed lest the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. We almost forget who we are. We almost forget where we came from. People get so caught up in Facebook. Did you see what he wrote? Did you see what they said? Did you see what this person's doing? Did you see what that person's doing? And we get so spun up and careful. If we're not careful, the cares of this life begin to choke us. Don't ever forget, friend, you're a pilgrim and a stranger. You're not from this place. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you too for my sake. You're not supposed to fit in. I'll say that again. You're not supposed to fit in. You're not supposed to be socially accepted. You know, the Christian world today has catchphrases. You hear them in all the churches, mega churches. We want to be relevant. We want to be relevant. We want to be connected. We're a relevant church. Our preacher is relevant. I would rather be revelated than relevant. Hallelujah. I want my preaching not to be relevant to what others think or their opinions or their thoughts. I want it to be relevant to one thing. Hallelujah. The Word of God. The unchanging, unfailing Word. Oh, we want to be socially connected. I want to be socially connected to my God, to my Father. Hallelujah. Notice this. He says, so that day shall come upon you unaware. Notice verse 35. For as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Yes, notice this in verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray sometimes. Pray at dinner for your food. Pray when you tuck your kids into bed. No, but this age is going to be so dark. It's going to be such a deceptive age. You have to pray always. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Notice this. Turn back in your Bible, if you could, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're just going to read something here. Come on, if you got your Bible turned, don't depend on that screen. That's why people fall asleep in church. Get those hands busy.
Second Timothy chapter 3. This know also, in the last days, transliterated, this word means horrible. Literally, that's what it means. That's the closest thing to the English dictionary. Horrific. Horrible.
Amen.
Terrible.
Yes, sir.
You say, this is the day and age that I live in?
Yes,
you know why so many people are getting so shocked by things that are taking place? They haven't realized the day and age that they live in. That this age was prophesied to be perilous.
Amen.
You're raising your children in perilous times.
Amen. Right.
Notice, for men shall be lovers, lovers of their own self. In other words, they would exalt human flesh so much. They would love themselves so much. This age is so much about love of self. This age is an age where people exalt the thinking and their opinions above God. You know, it's so amazing to me. People will question things. Well, I just don't see how that could be right. Well, notice the first problem. I. You see, what happens so many times is we try to hold God's and what God can do and will do or should do based upon what we would do. It's like an atheist. God, how could a just God send a man to hell? A man who He created. You see, what happens is they try to use their thinking. They tried to use their understanding. Men love themselves so much. Knowledge has increased to such a place. We think we got it all figured out. And man tries to hold God to his standard. Did you ever think that maybe this is the ceiling? Let's just say this is the ceiling. This is as high as your thoughts can go. The smartest you could ever get, all the intellect you could ever learn would only get you to here. And God's thinking is not even in here. It's up here. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Don't try to use your thoughts or your ways to discern what I should do. For as high as the heaven is from the earth, that's how far my thoughts are from yours. Notice this. He says, this know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self. They will exalt themselves so much. Where do you think all sin comes from? That we love ourself so much. We exalt ourselves so much. You see why people leave churches? Usually self-love. They love themselves so much. You see, this is what was prophesied of this day and age that you live in. This is what was prophesied, that it would be perilous times. Because why? Because everyone would be religious. They would be so religious. And religion is increasing. But spirituality is dropping. You have more religious people, but less spiritual people. That knowledge would increase so much. The Bible says they would learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. But they could never come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is the only thing that can set you free. Your opinion can't set you free. Notice this. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That's the one we usually leave out. But did you know a sign of the end time and an anointing that would come upon kids to be disobedient to parents? That there would be such self-love. He says, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. This is the day and age that you live in. This is what was prophesied. You see, what happens is so many people look back at the days and age. If you look at Ephesus, look at Smyrna, Philadelphia, Thyatira. We look at those ages where they had to fight a spirit. A spirit came in to challenge the believer and said, deny Christ or I'll kill your entire family. Wife, children, husband will tie you to a stake and you'll burn. And most of us go, thank God I didn't live in that day. Thank God I lived in today. But you don't even realize what you're saying. The challenge that you face and the spirits that you face are a combination of all the spirits before. People think they've slipped by. We think somehow, oh, well, you know, I guess we just sort of slipped under the radar. No, we didn't. We think, oh, we sort of just got by. You know, the end time, it's the greatest day, the golden age. Prophet said, I'd rather live here than any other age. And we think we should, you know, it's just the greatest thing in the world and we're at the greatest place. But no, the Bible says this day will be horrible. Amen. It will be a terrible time to live in. Amen. It will be awful. If that's what the Bible says about the day and age you live in, then I have one question tonight. Why are people so shocked? Why are people so stirred? Why are people so alarmed? Did you hear who's leaving the message? Did you hear who's questioning this, questioning that? Did you hear what they said? What's going on? I thought this is what everybody was waiting for. I thought we all been saying, can't wait for the rapture. But we forgot. First, there shall come a falling away. You imagine Noah, if Noah had preached for hundreds of years, for all but for 10 years, 15, 20, 30, 40, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. Judgment's coming. And then the day comes, the Lord tells him to get in the boat. Here comes Noah with all his family. He gets all his kids around, pulls them all up close. And then the silence falls and you hear a thud, the first raindrop. You imagine if Noah would go, did you hear that? What was that? Daddy, what was it? I don't know. I don't know what's happening now. I don't know what's going on. It's raining. What's happening? What's going on? What do you mean what's going on, Noah? You've been preaching to your church for years. You better get the Holy Ghost. You've been preaching to your church for years. You better get in the ark. You've been preaching for years, Noah, that it's going to rain. Now it's here. We've been preaching to our churches that darkness is coming. Gross darkness will fall upon the face of the people. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And somehow we're surprised. You know what? I'm surprised until I read the Bible. And it says, 2 Timothy, Paul says, in the last days the Spirit speaks clearly. That in the last days, when? The last days. Specific time, specific place, down to the very millisecond God had it in his mind what he meant. Amen. And he says in the last days, he says some shall depart from the faith. You have to be of the faith to depart from the faith. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. What is one spirit? What is one doctrine the prophet of God labeled a doctrine of the devil? The Trinity. Amen. The Trinity. Yet this single doctrine is the most heralded doctrine amongst almost every evangelical Christian denominational church there is. Outside of Unitarianism, maybe UPC. Every church, in fact, it is so stapled in their religion that they preach that if you don't accept the Trinity, you're going to hell. A doctrine. Now you know why Brother Branham said it was a doctrine of the devil. Would be so divisive. Then imagine there would be one thing that would divide the church. The nature of God. The nature of God. He says they would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience would become seared with a hot iron. You say, but why is this all this so? Because it's what the word prophesies for the day and age you live. That's why you better get born again. It is absolute insanity to raise your children in this day and age that we live in without the Holy Spirit guiding that home.
Yes, sir. That is true.
Perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self. Jesus said there'll be perilous times. Men's heart would fail. How he said there'd be distress between the nations. See a roaring tidal waves that's never been heard of before, bursting into the sea. All these things, signs would be coming to pass, just like it was in the days of Noah. How marvelous. But remember, the last plague that fell was death. God has given us a warning after warning after warning. The last thing that's come is death. Spiritual death. The churches, he says, are dying spiritually. Notice, we're increasing in knowledge. We're increasing the form of godliness. They have a form of godliness. They love God. But they deny the power. Notice this. He says, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with what words? That we have hope. Amen. You say, Brother Matt, it's terrible, it's dark, it's perilous. Yes, it is. And the world's falling away, and the world's getting cold, and it's getting less spiritual, but more religious. But there was a promise that God made. I'll never leave you or forsake you to the end of the world. In this world you shall have tribulation. But fear not, I've overcome the world. We have a rest. We have a hope. Hallelujah. Notice this day in Psalms 91. He says, David says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know what that word means? Whoever dwells. It doesn't mean whoever visits on Sunday and on Saturday. But it says whoever, this is what the word means, clears land, surveys the property, and builds a home. That's where I want to live. In the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of the falling away, in the midst when people are getting confused and tired and weary, and church is getting carnal, I want to build property. I want to buy property in the Most High, in the secret place of my God. I want to dwell in His tabernacle. As David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I shall dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. Notice this, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers and under His wings. I love this. And under His wings. You know what that word, under His wings, the Bible tells us. It's speaking of a mama eagle, a mama bird. That puts her babies in between her shoulder blades and carries them. This is what God says I'll do for you. I'll give you a piggyback ride. Hallelujah! Through all the pestilence, through all the disease, through all the falling away, through all the perilous times, there is a refuge. There is a tower of strength. Hallelujah! There's a place that you can live in, friend. There's a secret tabernacle of the Lord. Notice he says, he will cover you with his feathers under his wings. You will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Reading this from different translations, it's okay. Nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Notice, he says, you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Do you know when this is speaking of, friend? This is a direct correlation to Psalms 27. Which is what? The rapture. The rapture. The Bible says, in the day of trouble, he will hide me. In the day of not greatness, not supernaturalness. Brother Branham says that cycle of revival and death has never failed. And you notice the revivals that have swept across. And now what are we coming to? The last plague of death. People are dying spiritually. Let me wake your attention up tonight. Casualties of this battle are happening every single day. And Satan is attacking harder than he's ever attacked before. You know where Satan's battling people today? Right here. Paul says, Ephesians 6, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So he's specific. Notice this. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, our battle is not with our eyes. It's not with our ears. It's not what we read about on Facebook. It's not what we hear about happening over here and over there. If you think that's the battle, you'll miss it. But he says our battle is not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with them, but spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what that word means? Heavenly places. Spiritual wickedness in the atmosphere. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. This is where the battle is taking place today. He attacks the mind of the believer. He makes you forget who you are, where you came from, where you originated from. Satan attacks us on our mind. He attacks us in every way that he can. He bombards us in our mind. The greatest battle ever fought. And the question is, will you love yourself so much?
Think about it.
Somehow we look over at the ages and we look at Ephesus and we look at Smyrna. We look at Pergamos, Thyatira. Looking back at all the history and all the battles that they faced and all the heartache that they endured. We look at all the turmoil, all the strife. We look at all the sadness. We look at all the trouble. And somehow we think that we've escaped. But this age, just as every other age, will have to go to Gethsemane. The greatest battle ever fought. You will have to come to your time where there's a pressing. There will have to be the squeeze. And so much pressure is in this age now There's so much pressure, so many distractions. So many distractions about this and about that. My goodness, my phone, just about every time I have to turn it off. It just rings and rings and dings and dings. It's always busy, 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 busy. But this age will not accept, will not escape Gethsemane. A place where there's only one thing, death to self. Are you willing to die? Are you willing to go to Calvary? You know, it's amazing to me that Jesus Christ, greatest battle ever fought. And the Bible says there they crucified Him. The greatest battle that's ever taken place. And the Bible says they crucified Him. They led Him up to Golgotha. The place of the skull. And the greatest battle Jesus ever won was the battle over His own will.
Yes, sir.
And where did it take place? The place of the skull. And where is the battle taking place today? Where is people losing the victory? The skull. Because there's a pressure. No one likes pressure. No one likes death. But listen, friend. Until you die, until we go to Calvary, until we say like Paul, I am crucified with Christ. I know nothing save Christ and Him crucified. Until we can die and melt all to our passion and to our opinions and to our thoughts. You won't escape Gethsemane. But there's going to be a pressure and there's going to be a press. Just as every age had to face turmoil, you'll face turmoil. Just as every age had to face pain, you're facing pain today. You see, it's not flesh and blood though. It's in our mind. It's in our spirit. Prophet of God says, I want to give you a warning. So many people are falling asleep and getting cold. He says, because they haven't recognized the effect of this last day spirit. Many people are falling away. You know why so many people are shocked when someone leaves the church, leaves the faith, whether they go and leave the message or backslide into the world? Because you've not read and you've not recognized you are living in terrible, horrible times. I wish so bad I had better news. I wish so bad I could tell you. It's good. It's great. Have all you can of the world. Consume it all you want. But I have to be faithful to God and give you a warning. You feed upon the world, it will destroy you.
Amen. Good preaching.
People are falling asleep because they've not realized this is perilous times. You say, Brother Matt, does that excite you? Not in my flesh. It doesn't in my flesh to know people are so, oh, they're so awestruck. Oh, what if Obama gets elected again? What if he does? You know what it'll prove? The world is corrupt. It's evil. It's a homosexual loving agenda. Socialist agenda. Listen, friend, God's got it all in control. I thought this is what everyone was waiting for. For the world to get dark. Because we know when it gets dark, there's a light and a voice that says, come up higher. Hallelujah. There's a voice that says, come up higher. There's a light that comes to us. Listen. You say, Brother Matt, does it excite you? Are you thrilled? When someone leaves, no. But I'm very excited that I'm still here. I'm very excited, brother, that something keeps holding me. I'm very excited that there's something inside of me that says this is the truth. You must follow. You must obey. You must press on. Hallelujah. You must press to the mark of the high calling that is in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we've preached about it for years. We've heard about it for years, Lord. The darkness would fall upon the face of the earth in gross darkness upon the people. We've read your word, Lord. It says that first, before the coming of the Lord, there shall come a falling away. That some shall depart from the faith. Lord, and it doesn't excite our flesh, it doesn't make us happy. But something way deep, 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 deep down on the inside. Something that's beyond flesh, something that's beyond our ears or our sight. Something says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. In the midst of the chaos, Lord. In the midst of such rampart lawlessness, Lord. In an age that's becoming more religious, but less spiritual. An age that was prophesied to love themselves. You're asking today, Lord, in a day of self-love, you're beckoning us to Calvary. You're beckoning us, Lord, to crucify ourselves. You're beckoning us to lay aside our opinions, our thoughts, and to have a resurrection and newness in Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that there's an anchor in this perilous day that we live in. In this perilous time and perilous hour, we don't need to be shocked. We don't need to be alarmed. You've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. You've spoken peace to us, Lord. And if someone here tonight, God, would need to depend upon you, maybe someone just needs you to reach out and touch them, Lord, and embrace them tonight. I pray that they would just lift a hand right now, God, and that you would touch every person, touch every father who's fighting, touch every mother who's fighting, touch every young person who's battling, Lord. The place of the skull. Give us strength, Lord. Something keeps holding me every day I see. He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. A reality. It's a reality that something keeps holding me. Sing it for me, brother. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see. Yes, Lord, help me with faith.
Just wasn't there.
Oh, nothing. Nothing.
desire. Steal away everything.
His desire.
Steal away
to
my
steal
faith.
Away my faith.
Worship him for a minute. Put your hands together, wave them in the air. Say, Lord, we thank you that you put something on the inside of us. I grow strength like Abraham and Sarah, that he who made this promise, he's more than able to keep his own word. Lord, you said if you start a good work, you'll not just be the author of that good work, but you'll be the finisher to the day of the Lord. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I worship you. I give you honor. I give you praise. I give you glory, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that there's a refuge. I thank you there's a secret place, the secret of your tabernacle. I thank you, dear God, there's a refuge. The name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run into, and they're safe. Lord, as David said, in the time of trouble, you'll hide me. You'll hide me and keep me. You set my foot upon a rock. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter up of my head.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thou.
Why don't you just raise your hand and sing it to
me?
Tell it to the Lord. As David says, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. Now, O Lord.
Now, O Lord. Our shield. The glory.
the trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord with my hope.
Hallelujah.
And he heard me out of his hope. Precious Holy Ghost, sustain me. Oh, 10,000s of demons, every evil spirit may rise up against me.
I will not be afraid.
I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me round about.
Here tonight, have what you heard. Is it the truth? It is the truth. Dangerous, perilous times. Oh, aren't you so glad? Brother Matt said something. You know, many things that he said tonight touched your heart, but I'm amazed sometimes that I see people leaving, and you are too. But I'm amazed that I'm still here. I praise God that we're still here. It's a miracle we're still here. God's got his hand on us, Brother Terry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. God bless you. You can be dismissed in the name of the Lord. Remember to set your clocks back 1 hour tonight. Come in the morning. Let's just look to what the Lord would have for us. I believe it'll be another great time. Don't you? Shake hands with somebody as you're dismissed tonight. May God bless you as you leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.